Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah!
I heard Bill Alshafty. Oh yeah! Good morning, sir. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Sam.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome on the call. It's a delight to have you on here this morning. Thank you very much, Sylvia, for welcoming everybody on the call here this morning. And it was interesting, you know, yesterday was a big day of coaching, a big day of mentoring, a big day of spending lots of quality time with so many of our diamonds that are on the call here this morning. And it's always heartwarming. It's always heartwarming to see and be part of the courageous way that they want to move their lives forward by helping other people move their lives forward. And now yesterday was Sylvia and I's wedding anniversary, and we were talking last night after we finished up on our call, which was late last night. In fact, it was early this morning. And we were talking about all the things that people do in order to be successful. And one of the consistent themes in our lives, it's one of the consistent themes that you hear Sylvia talk about so often. It's one of those consistent themes you hear Kristen talk about, Amy talk about, Patty talk about. You know, they talk about it so many different times, and that's courage. And when we're on these calls and when we do different things in life and we see people engaged in activities that we are in awe of, in other words, we look at that person and think, wow, I could never do that. So often what we're doing is we're seeing the finished product. So often what we're seeing is somebody who has conquered a fear, got into activity, become better at it, become competent, and ultimately become world-class. And so often we don't even notice that it is world-class till it's up there and it's something that we consistently count on, that we look at and say, wow, how do they do that? And for many people, the first step, for many people, it's the start that stops us. And it's not the area of can I do it, it's will I do it. And that will I do it conversation can start with some fears that we have within us. And I know I've heard an acronym that explains this concept that fears are false evidence that appear real. But if they appear real, so often they're going to stop us. And on these calls, so many of you explain, wow, Sylvia does a great job of welcoming people on these calls. Sylvia does a great job of doing the calls on the week sometimes when you're not there. You two guys do a fantastic job of doing them together. Or she does a brilliant job on a Saturday morning call. And I can tell you that for Sylvia, this is not something that comes naturally. In fact, as I share with everyone, doing conference calls itself is not always something that comes naturally. You know, as Doug McGuinn shares, that one of the challenges is that you're speaking out into an open space, but you don't get to see people. You don't get to see their reaction. You don't get to hear their voices. You don't get to hear their participation. You don't get that feedback. It's like you're living there out in the quietness, and you're wondering what is happening and what it is that you're saying and how is it being received. And many times within that, it can be something that people have a fear of. And I know that's something that Sylvia has a fear of. But she has overcome that, and she made a decision that she wanted to become better. She said, I understand that I'm going to make that happen for myself. And we were talking about last night about her mother and how her mother met Eleanor Roosevelt very early in life and that she had a profound effect upon her. You know, Sylvia's mom grew up in a city or a town that had only 1,000 people. She went off to college and got all A's, and she grew her life and became a world traveler and traveled all over the world in a very courageous manner. She did many things that women of the day were not doing. She was one of those people that was courageous. And one of the things that Sylvia's mom loved was not only Eleanor Roosevelt, but one of the phrases that she has become famous for. It's something that Sylvia said, let's talk about this here this morning, which is this. Eleanor Roosevelt said, I believe that anyone can conquer fear by doing the things he or she fears to do, provided he or she keeps doing them until he or she gets a record of successful experience behind him or her. Listen to that again, because therein lies the key to success for many of us that are on the call. Eleanor Roosevelt saying, I believe that anyone that's listening on this call, that's anyone, can conquer fear by doing the things that he or she fears to do. What are those things that we fear to do? You know, for Sylvia, one of those things was conference calls. For me, when I first began, it absolutely was one of those things was conference calls. Provided he keeps or she keeps doing them until he or she gets a record of successful experience behind him or her. So often what we see is the finished product. So often what we see is somebody who made that first step, kept on doing those steps in order to get there. So let's conquer that fear. You know, we have it within the Empower magazine. It talks about feel the fear and do it anyway. He who is not courageous enough to take risk will accomplish nothing in life. I love the way Muhammad Ali said that. He who is not courageous enough to take risk will accomplish nothing in life. All of us want to do new things. You know, it's easy of us to think of courage when we think of the men and women in the armed services, both past and present, from all around the world. We can think of them as being courageous. We can read great books and we can look at other people, people that perhaps we feel as they're heroes of ours or heroes of this nation or heroes of the world, and we can look at them and think of them as courageous. You know, we can think of people who have battled illnesses in a courageous manner, be it themselves or be it their families, and we think of them as being courageous. But there is courage all over the world. There is courage that we can have and demonstrate in the day that we're going to live today. Because courage is doing those things that we fear doing. Courage is what can help us break through from the life that we have today to the life that we want tomorrow, to the future that we see for ourselves, for our friends, for our family, for our church, for our community. Fear can be what holds us back. And many times if we just understand that that first step is a step that we get to make when? Together. We get to link arms and link aims and do it together. A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what a ship is built for. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, we know it's insanity, so why do we do it? So often it's because it's safe. So often it's because what we're familiar with. So often because it's what's comfortable. The success that we're looking for so often is not a saunter or a jaunt or a walk or a stroll down the corridors of comfort. It's not in the corridor of comfort. It's perhaps in the outer edges of what it is that we feel good and safe about doing. We can truly expand our horizons. What about choosing today to take that first step in an area that we feel a little less secure about? Many of us know what it is that we want to do. Many of us know what the right thing to do for our family is. Many of us know what some of those challenges are. We can choose to create that first step. We can choose to do what somebody else. We can choose to lead by example. We can choose to step out and make it happen. To see what is right and not do it is want of courage. To see what is right and not do it is want of courage. I love what John F. Kennedy said. He said, we should never let our fears hold us back from pursuing our hopes. What are the hopes that you have for the future? As we always say, we believe that God doesn't create favorites. We believe that God doesn't create favorites, and if you have a vision for it, you have already the greatness inside you to achieve it. But do you believe it? Sometimes we have fears around it. How great is it to go out in the knowledge that we have God with us, and we can choose to also to have somebody else with us? Because in our business, we link arms and we link aims and we do it together. Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of the greatest philosophers in American history, says, It was high counsel that I once heard given to a young man. It was high counsel that I once heard given to a young man. Always do what you're afraid to do. What will we do today that we're afraid to do? Let's go out there and do it. And remember, when we go out there and do it, our goal is to do it together. If a man never fails, it may be because he never tries. Going out there and trying is what it's all about. So often we look at fear, and what really is it? We ask ourselves the question, what if we fail? What if we fail? It's okay. It's part of the process of succeeding. When we hold failure as failure, then it becomes a challenge for it. What if we hold failure as success? What if we understand that it's part of the process? What if we understand that when we stumble and fall, we go, yay, you know what? Because it just means that I grew, that I'm closer to where it is that I want to go, and the next time I might fall as well, but the truth is, I know I'm on my way, and ultimately I'm going to get there, because it's part of the process. You know, the founder of IBM, Watson, said, if you want to double your success rate, double your failure rate. Sometimes it's how it's we hold it. Sometimes we think to ourselves, oh, what would other people think? They think what they think anyway, and most of the time they're not spending that much time thinking about you anyway. Let their thinking keep them where they're at. Let your thinking move you from where you're at to where you want to go. We all can make it happen for ourselves. We can all make it happen for other people. You know, courage is very important. It's like a muscle. It's strengthened by use. Choose today to break out in little ways and do new things. Be courageous. Make it happen. Fortune sides with him or she who dares. You have to have courage to make a decision and stick with it. You have to have courage to make a decision and stick with it. You have to have courage to make a decision and stick with it. Why? Because all successful people know that no matter what decision you make, you're always going to be criticized by somebody for making it. Whether you don't, people will criticize you. Whether you do, people will criticize you. Why not get criticized going where you want to go and let the critics be critics? No one ever built a monument to critics. Critics are just the people that are playing out there. It's like a video game. They're the ones that are designed to stop you. Just let them be ordinary. Let them be critics. Successful people are not critics. Have you ever noticed that successful people encourage you? They lift you up. They support you. They breathe life. They breathe enthusiasm into themselves. In fact, it's just ordinary people doing what ordinary people ordinarily do, is that they fail. They quit. They don't do something new. And they want to bring other people with them. And they want to stop you and keep them there so they feel good about where it is that they are as well. It's just them showing them their colors. It's just them showing who they are. It's not about you judging them. You just look at them, you smile, you understand where they're at. You'd love to encourage them, inspire them by your actions, and maybe some will follow you. But it's ordinary people doing what ordinary people ordinarily do, which is they fail and quit and they stay where they're at. And they decide that their job is to grab other people that are passing by that perhaps might want to go to where they want to go. But that's not you. You want to move on because you understand there's greatness inside you, that God didn't create favor, that where you want to go is where you should be. Eleanor Roosevelt, where we started is where we shall finish. Let this call be an opening. Let this call be something where we do it today, tomorrow, and every day. Let's link arms. Let's link games. Let's do something today. I believe that anyone can conquer fear by doing the thing that he fears to do, provided he keeps doing them until he gets a record of successful experience behind him. Start that record today. Start going out there today. Go out there and celebrate the stumbles. Go out there and celebrate the challenge because you know that you're on your way. Have a God-filled, gorgeous, beautiful day today. Be a stand for courage. Be a great example to other people. As you move forward, other people will choose to do the same. We love every single one of you. Go out there and be courageous and create the day that you deserve. Create create the tomorrow that you want to have, and it will send you on the way to where you should be. We love every single one of you. Have a God-filled, gorgeous, beautiful day. We love you all. God bless you all. Have a great day.
You know, I just get stoked every time I listen to Garrett, but today it brought back memories of when I walked off of a bus. It was an ugly green-looking bus on January 13th of 1982 into Marine Corps boot camp because I was scared to death. But yet, 12 weeks later, I had more confidence than I ever thought I could dream of, and that has really parlayed me forward, you know, into the career that we've had at Network Marketing. And John, I know we've got you on the phone along with Matt today, but what was it like for you, man, when it comes to courage, learning to fly a helicopter that first time?
Oh, wow. Well, first and foremost, I mean, you know, you don't even have a perspective of what's going to happen, because everybody has a perspective that, you know, you walk on the ground, you drive on the ground, you see things in a different manner. When you get that first flight and you take off and you go, it's so overwhelming to just take in the sight that you're not even thinking about flying the helicopter. So I guess what it is, in anything that you probably do in your life, there are steps to everything. You don't even realize you're going through the steps, but as you continue to keep doing the process and you keep trusting in it, you continue to get better no matter what. It's like you are doomed for success as long as you stick with the process. So I remember getting inside the helicopter, looking at all these switches and buttons and gauges and going, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? You know, but the thing was is just I was so determined. I had a goal with details at the end that I wanted to become a helicopter pilot, and I was going to do whatever it takes, studying, practicing by flying, and then eventually taking the test and getting my license. So, I mean, it really boils down to what I guess – what you find inside yourself and what you truly want, that goal with details. So I guess that's what I would have to add for that.
Well,
what do you think, Troy?
No, I agree with you on that. And Matt, you've had a successful ride with Network Marketing, but explain a little bit of what it was like when you, I mean, man, when you first came in, you were young, and you were listening to all these gurus out there, and then you've kind of gone off and created a reputation for yourself as an internet marketer, but you didn't have that confidence first time going in.
No, are you kidding me? I was 19 years old. I was just coming out of a drinking and driving charge. I was living with my parents again for 11 months after having been moved out for a couple years. And I answered an ad in the paper, got shuttled into a room in Springfield, Massachusetts. There's 9 of us there. Chuck Pereira got up in front of the room, started talking about water filters and air filters, and we could make $10,000 a month, and showed me a book called Think and Grow Rich, and 8 people got up and left, and I stayed. And I spent the next number of years, you know, I think it was 93, tail end of 92 or 3 or something like that, 93, I think, when that happened. And I'll tell you, it was, I didn't understand the thing. All I knew is I was supposed to bring people to the room. So I dragged people to the room, but I was bringing the wrong quality of people to the room, because picture me at 19, my hair down the middle of my back, smoking marijuana all day long, and just not having a clue about life. So it's been a big transformation, and I struggled with that, but I did spend about, you know, I tell people I went into debt about $12,000 to $14,000, but in reality it was my network marketing college education, because I attended some training seminars with people making $50,000 and $100,000 and $200,000 a month, and caught what we call the MLM bug. I get out of the industry in 98, got back in 2000 with a little company in Utah, nutrition company, and you know, my mentor was Robert Allen, and they had a system. They told me I didn't have to talk to friends and family, and that was great, because I was known as Millionaire Matt, the water filter guy at that point in time. And guys, I was trying to sell water filters in the town I grew up in. We had wells, we didn't have city water, but anyway, long story.
Oh,
so yeah, I mean, then you know, I still get a paycheck every single Friday from that company. I haven't, you know, worked that business in a number of years, because I moved on. I'm a multiple income stream type of a guy, and with the internet I can do that without, you know, self-destructing downlines, and that's just what I do. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting ride. You know, right now, my goal is to make, you know, 6 figures a month with multiple companies and without affecting each and every one of those. So I'm very excited to be involved in network marketing. I'm 35 years old now. I got a beautiful 7-and-a-half-year-old guy. By the way, I'm headed to a picnic here, so I'll only be on for a few short minutes. But anyway, yeah, in a nutshell, that's my story. And then I self-taught myself internet marketing, and now they call me a guru. I don't know why, but I mean, I can get top rankings out of 100 million search results, and most people can't do it, and most Fortune 500 companies spend millions to try to get that done. Maybe I should hire myself up for them, too.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's funny, though, because what amazes me, and John is young, Matt is young. I've been at this thing. I came in about the same age as Matt. But one of the greatest heroes that I have in network marketing has a similar story to Matt. He was the youngest ever promoted senior national sales director at Primerica. His name's Shane Rudman. And I'll never forget the first meeting that he came to because, man, we were A.L. Williams back then, and we were in our suits and our ties and having our meeting, and Shane comes in and cut off shorts, a T-shirt, and sweatshoes, sneakers. And his upline was so embarrassed that he quit and said, I can't do this. I can't have a guy come into my meetings like this. And it was just because Shane was a little bit, you know, wet behind the ears still. And yet by the time he was 21 years old, he was making $1 million a year. He's never fallen back from that. A couple of years ago, he bought a 12,000-square-foot office building where he was at because the insurance company that owned it went bankrupt. And, you know, people, this is what I want you to understand on this call. We have some dynamic leaders who did not have the confidence when they first started out. They had to learn things. You know, Garrett talked about conference calls. When I was promoted to the executive vice president of a network marketing company, the owner of that company terminated the training vice president and said, now it's your ball of wax, you go take care of it. Now, he did that because it saved him $100,000 a year, but in a matter of 24 hours, I went from never doing conference calls to doing 4 conference calls a night and training people that had been making millions of dollars a year for 5, 6, 7 years. And let me tell you, when it came to a lack of confidence, I didn't feel like I had the confidence early on. But now I receive phone calls some 5 or 6 years after that company has gone by the wayside of people saying, Troy, those first training calls that we were on that you did helped us parlay our career into where we're at today. And some
was
of them are
7
years in. Yeah, Pro Step, man. And it just
I was there, Troy. I remember those days, buddy. I remember.
You know, it's crazy, but confidence comes with, just like John said, with training. And I know Mark Layton's on the call this morning, too. We got a full house. Mark, you just raised your hand to say something, man. What is it you want to throw in here?
Well, I just wanted to, I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but the way Troy and I got to be good friends, I'll reminisce with him a little bit, is when he got thrown into that situation of recording conference, of doing conference calls, he forgot to record one, and I had, so I sent him a copy of it, and the rest is history.
That is so true. You know.
Kevin Lehman must have been freaking out.
Oh, let me tell you, boy.
Yeah. Okay. It's,
you know,
okay,
but
I'll tell you what, the fear to do something can really hold you back. You know, when a baby elephant is first trained, it's tethered to a little spike in the ground. When it weighs like a couple hundred pounds, and that spike in that rope will hold it in place. And the elephant has a long memory, so now it's an adult elephant weighing about 4,000 pounds. And because it was trained as a 200-pound elephant that it couldn't pull that tether out of the ground, it doesn't even try when it's 4,000 pounds. So what happens is that we as adults forget, you know, the simplicity that we had, you know, the can-do that we had when we were kids, and we always have to seek to recapture that and help others to do the same, and that's why people don't do things.
You know, you hit something on there, Mark.
It.
You hit something really good there, and as leaders that are on this call trying to gain more knowledge into growing our team, we need to remember that sometimes we advance and we forget the basics, we forget the fundamentals. And, you know, I was talking to John when the call first started here, and he was talking about what he had to learn to fly a helicopter. But, you know, the fun thing is we've got Jim Gilhouse with us, and Jim was his mentor. He was one of the guys that was training other pilots to fly. And I think Jim can attest to this. You cannot forget the fundamentals, because when you do, not only can you crash a helicopter, you can crash your career.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Good morning, guys. The fundamentals are the key to anything. I remember the great Vince Lombardi, after winning a Super Bowl, came in at the start of the first practice of the very next season, and he introduced the team by opening the conversation with, gentlemen, this is a football. The first thing that we're going to establish is the ability to block, tackle, catch, run, the basic fundamentals that make this game, because without the fundamentals of anything that we do, there's no point in doing it. Everything, and I do mean everything, is based on sound fundamental principles. And, you know, quite honestly, that's one of the neatest things about being a part of this team, because with the inspiration and the leadership of people like Garrett and Sylvia, you know, Tom and Denise Chenault, and many, many, many others of our friends that are part of the leadership community of this organization, there are so many people that are so willing and eager to give freely of their knowledge and help to build upon those fundamentals. You know, you see people like Dr. Gene Stewart and Dennis Norquist who are out there, you know, constantly working with their people, not just in their own backyard, but all around the country. These things are the very core of what creates a strong team, because people have the foundation in the fundamental of seeing what leaders are doing. One thing that we've all learned, and Troy, I know you can attest to this, John can't yet because he's not there yet, but Mark can, Matt can, any parent, and that's the only reason I exclude you from that, John, it can relate to this, is the fact that our children, just like our business team and everything else, they hear what you say, but they do what you do.
Yep.
And you know, that's why it's so important to stick to the fundamentals and be gainfully employed in the reality of the fundamental application every single day.
Well, and Jimmy, I think that's why some of the leaders in this profession that have not only created fame but created fortune is because they've never stopped sponsoring new people. They may change their method. They may not have to do it as hard as other people because, you know, they've reached a part where it's 80% leadership building and 20% recruiting, but I've never yet met a leader who said, no, I'm just sitting back doing nothing. They're always looking at the main thing that keeps their business growing, and that's attracting new leaders and new people that they can bring on their team who not only will help their own organization, but who they know, hey, I can learn something from them. You know, I've never once joined a company where I didn't do it because I thought I could learn something from my upline. It was never really about the product. It was never about the organization itself as much as who are the leaders and who on that team can I learn from? And that's what brought me to this team is when I saw the leadership, it's like, oh my gosh, man, I can learn so much that I've never known. I can see the new application. I can go back and in some cases have learned fundamentals all over again. And that's one of the things that excites me when I listen to John talk, because he is fresh and brand new to network marketing. He's got this excitement that he doesn't care what other people say. He doesn't care if they tell him no. He has a why that he has never lost, that he's going for. And that's what it takes. That's the main fundamental, is having a why that you will cry for, that you will die not to reach.
Well, let me reiterate one other thing about John. John is the consummate sponge. John is, he absorbs things, and John is smart enough to listen to the people around him who have the success that he wants. Too many people, Troy, you know, they go to a real estate agent and ask them for advice about knee surgery. And, you know, what I'm referring to there is asking someone that is within your circle of influence, you know, whether or not they think, you know, getting involved in the network marketing industry is a good idea when they have no success in that industry to base that decision on in the first place.
That's true.
Now, a good friend of mine once made a comment, and I have to put a lot of faith in this comment, and she said, whenever you buy someone else's opinion, along with their opinion, you're accepting their income and lifestyle, because that is oh so true. That it's not even funny.
You're dead on that one right there. I mean, that's something that most people don't even realize of what's going on. And folks, as we close out the call today, you know, Garrett brought up something that I want to reiterate as we close it out. If you want to overcome the fear, if you want to put aside the false expectations of fear appearing real, then take one action step. Do one thing that you're afraid of, and it will change your outlook. It will change change your paradigm, and I guarantee you the next step will be even easier, and the next step even easier. Thank you for being on the call today. We'll see you all tomorrow morning. Jim, John, Mark, thanks for everything, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Troy. Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
Bye.